what up, it's Eric, a.k.a. Planting Seeds, a.k.a. Whole Activity.
Yo, what up, it's Jeff, a.k.a. Ammo Anastasio, a.k.a. Trigger Trey.
Yeah.
That's who you are.
I'm Joe Mandy, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Joe Mama Juice, that used to be my AOL screen.
I'm Anise Adam Ansari, a.k.a. South Cat Knees, a.k.a. Triple Six Knees, a.k.a.
See, it wasn't that hard. Yeah, yeah.
I got AK.
Yeah, and this is a waste of time, but it's the real. By the way, have either of you been to Rick Ross's Wingstop?
Not no. His specific one, no.
No, but I mean, like, it's a chain, right?
It's a chain, so. But he only owns specific franchises. So I wouldn't go to the one on Western in Santa Monica, A, ever, but B, like, if it's not a Rick Ross-owned establishment, I'm not going to go there.
Wingstop's not good. They're not.
Oh, overall
wings. Yeah,
I love wings. I don't think I've ever had lemon pepper, which
lemon
is
pepper
that's
wings
is
are
like
great. That's a Southern specialty.
Yeah, well, I've never had it. I'm psyched about it. If I'm next time I'm in, you know, the right part of the country, I will do my research and go to one.
Are you only excited because that's Rick Ross's favorite? Yeah,
yeah.
I actually just got an email that said that I could franchise a Wingstop.
Really?
Like, I'm dead serious. I actually just got, I don't know how I got this on this list. I actually got an email that said, like, you can own.
You're on some pretty
Wingstop.
Terrible email list, but this one's a good one.
It's I'll
like
take
power
it.
Players
yeah. Yeah. I almost, like, want to pull it up.
And by almost, you mean you will.
I'm going to pull
right
it up.
Now. Yeah. So the last time we saw you guys was at Joe's wedding.
Yeah.
Where Joe surprised everyone, including his new wife.
Yeah,
and brought out Mario, the singer,
R&B superstar Mario, sang at my wedding.
Mario.
Which brought the house down, and he was amazing.
He was great.
Did you expect him to be as good as he was?
To be honest, no. I mean, he had no. There was, you know, he had no reason to like give it 100%, and he did, and he still got it. He sounded amazing. And it was the hardest secret I've ever had to keep.
Yep.
No one knew except for like two people.
I knew. Yeah, I didn't know you were. Yeah, I was in the mix.
Yeah. You didn't know the what?
I didn't know you had sealed it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I told a few people like it was a possibility, but I locked it down like a week before. It was pretty exciting.
But it had to be him though.
It did. Well, so he was number one. I mean, I said
sure.
It. People thought I was joking. Like his song, Let Me Love You, is technically like our song, so
right.
It was a huge coup on my part. But the first people I contacted actually were Next.
Really?
Group Next, because they sing Wifey, and I was like, well,
yeah,
what
yeah.
if they sang Wifey to Kylie? That'd be hilarious. And they, I mean, I could pull up, as you're talking about pulling up your franchise,
yeah.
I could pull up their writer they sent me.
They have a writer?
The most hilarious. It was like,
what was on it?
So they all live in like different parts of the country, so they all separately wanted to be flown in first class. They all each wanted their own SUV limo to stay at like a different hotel. It was crazy. And then once they arrived, they wanted like in their green room. By the way, there was no green room, but they,
right.
in their green room, they wanted like a tray of teriyaki wings, a bottle of like peach vodka, like different sized towels for different reasons.
How it far was, were you willing to go to get Next?
What's the correct? Not receiving that email was just like, oh no, this is like you just this
gift enough.
Just the downloading this PDF is too much work for me. It was very funny because it was like it would be the kind of thing you would expect from like, I don't know, like The Weeknd now,
sure. Yeah,
you know, and this is like Next in 2015.
So this is like a standard like rider for them.
Oh yeah, it had their like logo on it and like the way they wanted like their monitors, like the angle at which they
God.
Were at. And I was just like, what? What, you know, what century do you think this is? This is crazy.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I still think they're great. I don't mean to.
Yeah,
I am just
yeah.
totally throwing. It was a ridiculous email to get.
Well,
and also a ridiculous thing to ask. I don't
yeah.
know what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a.
There's
a,
issues on both sides.
Yeah, no, it was
issues on both
it was
sides,
a
clearly.
Silly. It was silly on both our parts. I would think. Yeah.
I just remember Anise was like so excited. He was like, "Oh my God, do you know what's happening right now?" And you like led us all to the front,
and it ended up being Joe starting to sing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a great swerve.
It was a good bit.
It was also funny when Mario started performing the cross section of people at Joe's wedding of people who A knew Mario and B
like really loved and knew that song.
Yeah.
It was very small. So when Mario started performing, he started doing like a point the mic to the crowd.
Yeah.
And really it was just the three of us. Right. Right. That song.
Yeah. My friend Nick from high school, like, on the verge of tears. Yeah.
It's his song.
It's his song. It's also his song.
Yeah. Have you seen the video yet?
Like, I have not.
Like
no.
The official video.
No, I've seen a GIF someone made.
Sure.
And a couple artistic black and white photos that your brother took.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Some fan videos.
Yeah. Other than that, I haven't seen anything yet. I'm so excited.
What is the timeline to get like a wedding video back, by the way?
It's a great question.
Because I think
we're getting to that point where I'm like, where is it?
Because they take their damn time.
Yeah, they really do. You know, for me, I asked a lot of favors of people, so I can't be a jerk and be like, where is it? Clock's tick. There's no clock.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
We had a cousin who, her bat mitzvah video, like the video like maker took off with the stuff and got paid, but like took off with the videos and never ever like turned them in.
Oh,
so
great,
that's somewhere.
Great scam. I'm going to get that money and keep this bat mitzvah footage. Oh. She must have killed her Haftorah. Yeah. He's like,
we'll never know.
I can't
give
this up.
Never know.
So we met Anise at your wedding. And you told me the story about you guys going to see the Migos.
Oh, of the misfortune time we tried to go see the Migos.
Yeah.
Not just the Migos, official Grammy after party at Playhouse Nightclub on Hollywood Boulevard.
So the thing is, and Anise and I, we've been to a million rap shows. We know they start late. But for some reason, we thought, well, this is an official Grammy after party. So we showed up right on time. We even paid extra to get VIP. We paid money to go to this thing. It was so ridiculous.
We weren't going to go. But then the Saturday before, Joe contacts me very late at night. We're both not in a state to make great decisions.
4 in the morning.
4 in the morning. Dude, are we going to Migos? I'm like, yeah.
It's Migo time.
And then we go to buy the tickets, and I'm like, well, it says we can get regular tickets for $20, or we can get VIP in parens, no waiting in line passes, for $70. And I'm like, look, man, I feel like the Migos line situation might be crazy. And we're like, VIP it is. So we paid like $70 plus processing.
I mean, it's embarrassing.
Yeah. Very embarrassing. We get to this thing. We're the first people there. I go to this guy, and I'm like,
also,
hey, man.
We didn't do this on purpose. Wearing the same outfit. We're both wearing like the exact same.
What were you guys wearing?
It was kind of a convo, like, what's the appropriate thing to wear?
Versace. I mean,
it is an official Grammy after party.
Yeah. We don't own any Versace. So it was
kind of like a t-shirt blazer situation.
Mm-hmm. Very classy for a Migos event.
Yeah.
Very classy.
Well, but you were getting...
It's a Grammy.
No, I get it.
And you're getting all three Migos at that point, right?
Yeah.
No one's in jail.
No one's in jail. They're all... Yeah.
So we get there, and then I'd show the guy, I'm like, hey, I got this VIP thing. It's cool. Wait in this line. So we waited in line for 20 minutes.
Like, the benefit of paying $50 was no line. You could just walk right in.
Which is great. Right.
Get in line. Right. That's not allowed. And so we stood in line for half an hour, 45 minutes. And then finally they were like, okay, VIP goes in first. So then we walk into an empty nightclub.
Dope.
And it's literally for about 5 minutes, it's just me and Joe inside an empty nightclub with the bartenders just
taking photos of each other. Just like an giant empty nightclub, like Migos VIP. And then DJ Envy came out. Was that his name?
No, it wasn't a popular DJ. DJ Envy's a really, it was some random DJ. And he was just DJing. He had a dumb name.
It was
DJ Crossfire or something.
It was, and he was, whoever this guy was kind of a bozo.
Yeah.
And, like, it was so funny because then people did start filing in, but no one wanted to go down the way it's like.
Everyone just kind of standing around.
Standing around watching this, like, bad DJ. And then it's like, so then it's, we got there at like 10, and then it was like 11,
and then it was like
11:30.
At that point, you were like, how much longer do you think we're staying here? And I'm like, maybe give it like another 30 minutes. And then we're just kind of standing there, so I'm checking Instagram,
It's about midnight.
I'm checking Instagram, my phone. I'm like, hey, Joe, Migos just posted an Instagram. They're in the studio with Mac Miller and Alchemist. Clearly no plans to come to this Playhouse, like, anytime soon. And we just bounced.
Oh,
and then
God.
I woke up the next morning and, like, looked on Instagram, like, oh, they went on at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, they went on to their own after party.
Four
so what did you learn from this, like, to show up just super late?
maybe not go to official Grammy after parties.
Yeah. I think I learned, like, I'm never, like, paying to go to anything.
Wow, that's a big lesson.
Yeah, I'm just like, if I can get in because a friend can get me into a thing, then I'm going. But otherwise, like, I'd much rather just, like, chill at home.
Right.
The other funny thing is, like, the next day we're at work and I'm on my phone. I'm like, hey, Joe, look. Six people stabbed at Amigos concert.
Yeah, I know. It was like this. Yeah,
you guys would have gone so viral.
That's like, I think that's how I'm gonna die too. Like,
get
I'm gonna
get stabbed at Amigos concert.
People die. Yeah.
You guys are both like not native Californians. What do you think of like the rap scene out here?
Is there a scene out here
in Los Angeles?
Yeah. No. In Los Angeles.
I mean, I know. I'm always seeing like Odd Future members on Fairfax, so
yeah.
Like
I like YG.
They're around.
Right, sure.
YG's good.
Dope.
Kendrick, obviously,
but YG can't perform in California.
Yeah, because he's gang affiliated. Like all of the venues, like basically make it impossible for him to perform because they charge for so many security to be there.
Oh, is that true?
So it's essentially he's blackballed from performing in California, which is crazy.
Until he gets it sorted out, which he's working on.
But I mean, but then how does Snoop perform?
I guess he has it all worked out.
Yeah.
Like, but
he
like
just pays those that amount of,
or he's done like stuff like,
and he plays at like the Staples Center, not like YG
right.
playing.
Right,
but like, edge. But like, there's definitely rappers out here. But I mean, like the parties or like the listening parties or like the culture that you have like in New York, where it's just like you can go to a rap show that just sort of pops up. Is there that here?
Not really.
No, I mean, I saw Action Bronson at this weird place in Echo Park.
That's cool.
He threw a pound of weed into the crowd.
That was cool.
That was great. I'd never seen anything like that before. Yeah, people just like tearing the bag apart like animals.
Yeah, there's like Low End Theory, which is cool, and cool rappers will come there, but that's kind of like packed with younger people and pretty crazy and weird. The crowds here aren't that good either.
That was crazy. Yeah. The Action Bronson one was pretty crazy because it was like and it's, you know, very similar to doing stand-up out here too. I feel like crowds are used to like wildly famous people performing, and so they just like they don't get excited by stuff the way like anywhere else in the country they would, like, because Action Bronson came out, he brought out Wiz Khalifa and Mac Miller like back to back and someone else, and like
people were still disappointed.
Well, it was like not disappointed, but they didn't like really react the way you think they would,
like it would if you were a New Yorker.
Like I'm not like, you know, I'm not gonna like lose my mind when Mac Miller comes out, but I was looking around like, yo, people should be more excited by this. Like,
I feel like people are jaded like all over though, like at this point. Like you can't, like everyone has to have their own like version of Summer Jam now, or else like it's not worth paying the money or something like that.
Well, especially because everybody can live stream it anyway.
Yeah, like if Jay-Z's going to perform like just his stuff and he's not going to bring anyone out and he does that as like, you know, with purpose, that's a shock like in 2015. Like no one really like cares to...
Unless you're a Tidal member.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Tidal B-sides concert.
What's the most awkward concert you guys have been to?
Well, I mean, other than the empty Migos, I think that's number one on my list.
No Migos.
I went with you guys in New York to see Currency.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the people were just like so stoned, they were like falling asleep, and there was like a little nap corner in the hallway
before the show had even started.
Yeah, it was like his.
It was like a trail of like 16-year-olds,
and they were just like cuddling. They were like so high, they were just like falling asleep on each other's shoulders.
You took pictures of them.
I did. I took a lot of photos.
Do you remember at the end of that concert? That was at Irving Plaza, I think, right? He jumped off into the crowd and was followed by like his manager Musa with a flag.
Yep.
And they walked through this like
And then they congregated like on the street.
Yeah, like out.
I do remember
outside.
That.
He was like standing on a car or something.
Yeah.
It was like an Uber, and then he jumped in. Everyone's like, "What? What just happened?"
The most awkward concert I went to is I went and saw Drake pretty early on. This is post So Far Gone, pre his first album.
Thank you later.
And it was at Furman University, which is a Christian university in South Carolina.
Wow.
So I drove up from Atlanta to go there. I had a couple of friends from – this is my freshman year of college. So I had a couple of friends from high school who went there. And he played the show in the arena there. And at one point, like, he brought a girl up on stage and was, like, giving her a lap dance. And then I turned around, and you could see these officials at the school, like – freaking out, like, what is going on? Get this girl off stage.
I feel like mine would be, I saw Lil B. I saw him at his first, like, New York show. I think it was his first New York show. He was
I think I was there, too. Was that at
the Highline Ballroom?
Yeah, I saw that.
And, like, people were, like, offering him all these gifts. He didn't perform any songs.
Yeah, it was
like,
very weird.
It was just, like, a lot of ambient music.
And he came out and just let people say thank you, Bass God, for, like, 10 minutes. And he was just, like, you're welcome, you're welcome.
And then he,
so
like, gave, like, a long speech about how he was, like, the first rapper to write a book and, like, all this stuff. And then my second probably would be I saw Krayshawn twice. So one of those would be.
And you saw Riff Raff, right?
Yeah, but Riff Raff was – okay, so I don't like Riff Raff as a hip-hop artist.
Right.
But it was the most amazing show I've ever seen. Like, it was just like the like,
where was it? SOBs?
SOBs. Yeah. He was standing on stage with, like, a ton of people, and he was – you can't, like, take your eyes off him because you're not quite sure what he's going to do.
Yeah, I find him fascinating. Yeah. I don't know what he is. I've talked for almost 2 years that I want to start doing steroids as a bit. Just, like, do it. Just get, like, crazy jacked. And, like, he did that.
Yeah, right.
He did that, and I'm like, well, thank you. Thank you, Bass God Riff Raff. But, like, I was like, now I know what would have happened to me, and I'm glad I didn't do that because he looks insane.
He looks great.
Like, I mean, I think it's great that he did that. I think...
But you like him as an idea.
I do.
I mean, he sang country songs, like, I don't know. It was just amazing. I was flabbergasted.
Really?
Yeah. I was just like, this is the craziest show I've ever been to.
I just can't, like, sort of, I don't know, swallow the integrity and go and, like, try to enjoy Riff Raff.
I mean, I also went to a terrible Riff Raff show. Actually, that would probably be awkward, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was, like, all, like, kids who were wearing, like, Neff. And had just seen Spring Breakers.
Yeah.
So it was like my nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, I love it. I
do you listen to his music?
I like the song Larry Bird. I know that's on my phone.
Yeah.
There's like a couple songs that
I'm not
highlight.
Mad at a Riff Raff feature.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like Froze, that new Currency song with Riff Raff.
Yeah.
That's really good.
The How to Be a Man Houston remix with Paul Wall.
Yep, yeah.
Jumping out the gym, Migos.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Great, the Riff Raff verse.
I feel like Riff Raff crazily got some like very early features with like people you would never expect. Like he was the first one to get like Chief Keef. He was the first one to get Fredo Santana. He was the first one. Like it's just like how did this guy?
Yeah, he's that's what I'm saying. Like I don't, and I think he's sort of like he never. He had within like about 6 months ago, he should have turned some kind of corner.
Right,
instead,
right.
He's just like. Getting jacked and like taking pictures of his
lasagna.
He has
no corners anymore. Yeah, yeah.
You know, but and like just he made his hair blue. Like he should have done some crazy turn at some point. Maybe just embracing country or doing something nuts. Because now it's like the joke's kind of done. Like
right.
I did for a while. I was like 100% behind it as an idea.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like I think it's kind of tired or something.
Like
but...
his Twitter and stuff. Like it's you know.
Is he somebody who stuff. like Hollywood types understand and they like pitch you guys and they're like, well, you should do something with Riff Raff. Like, we get him.
Well, I mean, there was a point about a year and a half ago where Chelsea Peretti like did a podcast with him and I was like angrily texting her, like, how did this, like, because I, at that
all
point,
capital
I was,
letters, yeah, all lowercase eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How did, yeah, exactly.
Lowercase I, not get involved in that.
Yeah. And by the way, talking about the Migos, we were driving over here and listening to Emmett Smith. The Migos song.
Yeah.
And I do wonder, like, it's gotten to such a point. Like, remember when Rosa Parks was, like, that was a big deal for Outkast to get sued by her and, like, you know, include her name, not include her name in a song.
Sure.
Now everybody just, like, uses, like...
Yeah, but that's a Lil B thing.
I know, but, like, it's legal now. It's not even, like, an issue at all.
Lil B invented hip-hop.
Thank you, Bass God.
Thank you, Bass God.
Yeah. He's also someone who...
Did he, like, set some precedent?
Yeah, I mean, he was doing, like, he had Justin Bieber. I mean, like, he has, like, so many songs that are just, like...
Yeah.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, someone's name over and over.
Yeah, someone's name.
Yeah. It's a great song.
Yeah. Perfect.
And then Rick Ross, like, took it to the next level.
Yeah, we could say Rick Ross mainstreamed it with, BMF.
No, totally. Absolutely. But I feel like...
And not MC Hammer?
I mean, wow. The same song. Guys, don't
they're
fight over this.
The same song, right? It's the same beat.
Yeah, like Hot 97 used to play them back to back, and it was just like a 9 minute long megamix.
I remember that. That was great.
Well, what do you guys do for? Do you guys care that Big Boy changed, you know, radio stations here?
I don't listen to the terrestrial radio.
Right.
I listen to. I got satellite, so satellite
I'm
puts on.
Furious
the,
about it.
Satellite puts all the Atlanta DJs on, so I can listen to like DJ Scream. That's probably my favorite show. Is the DJ Scream show.
Yep.
Shout out DJ Scream if you're listening.
Yeah.
He's not listening. I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to break your heart. But
what about Corey B, DJ Scream sidekick?
He's
Corey
definitely. He's listening.
Shout out Corey B.
I only listen to terrestrially. I only listen to K Day.
Only option, LA.
Because it's like sort of old school stuff.
Well, it's interesting because like when I was a child, I made fun of my dad constantly because all he listened to in the car was talk radio mm-hmm. or oldies. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, "You're so boring. God, you're so this is terrible." And now, like, I've had a sudden realization recently.
That you're your father.
I only listen to podcasts and K-Day, which is essentially talk radio and my oldies, but it's like 90s hip-hop.
Did you apologize to your dad?
I did. Yeah. I'm sorry, but, you know, but like, you know, Nate Dogg is better than the Beach Boys.
I would agree Nate Dogg is better than the Beach Boys.
The whole Desus Mero argument that Migos is better than the Beatles is 100% true. I brought that up at work a while back. And
I got it. There's
a huge argument, but I was like, I would much rather listen
to... Wait, at Parks?
Yeah, yeah.
Did people agree with you?
No one agreed with me. I was the only
one.
Not
even you?
Well, you were...
I wasn't there. Oh. I was at Parks. But there was an article that came out, and I'll forward it to you. I forgot. It was like by like Newsweek or Business Week or some reputable source about how... the influence of rap on the culture is so much more than
yeah.
what the Beatles
oh, yeah,
influence
for sure.
was.
Yeah.
So,
and that's a British report, by the way.
Yeah, it's British.
And by the way, 300, who is their label, like wanted us to get involved with going to London and shooting some sort of like documentary, like Meet the Migos, like Meet the Beatles,
fun.
Which would have been awesome, but it just never happened.
Joe, can we write the Migos version of A Hard Day's Night?
Well, I would actually love to make a Yellow Submarine.
You should just put it out into the, you know.
Yeah.
Atmosphere and make
it's
it
funny,
happen.
I've had a lot – you guys aren't the first people I know who've supposed to have collaborated with Migos on something and then be like, it's weird. Then it just like fell through. And it's like, oh, yeah, because they're like 19-year-olds and
right.
Can do whatever they want.
By the way, so one of my favorite things to do is to like edit Wikipedia pages. So
not
like,
not like the correct way.
No. Yeah. Define correct. But like I did like Michelle Rachomiquan. Mm-hmm. I did like a bunch of other ones, but I did 1738 and Wikipedia immediately was just like, no, like this is not the year that like Fetty Wap like made or whatever.
How quickly did they
like immediately like it's almost like I got a message about it too. It was just like, you are violating the rules of Wikipedia. And I was just
Wiki police.
Yeah.
So another thing that we love about Joe is that you have this fascination like we do with Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, at some point he blocked you on Twitter.
He did.
But here's a little something for you. I don't know if you saw this today on his Instagram I can't see it on his Twitter.
Yeah.
But on Instagram he did say that he had to get a new phone. I don't know if it broke or whatever. Same number.
Uh-huh.
He said, friends, family, business people, text me your number.
Oh, shit.
And I have a new email address. Link up.
Uh-huh.
You should really take advantage of this.
I should. Yeah. I should email him.
Formally make amends.
Yeah.
I really
yeah.
want to. There's a couple people in my life that I've burned bridges with that I would. And he's one of them.
Yeah.
Gilbert Arenas is another.
Okay.
That I wish I could make things right with him. Cameron thing is weird because it's just like, it was just like, Early on in Twitter, and I said an annoying thing to him, and he rightfully corrected me and then blocked me. And about a year ago, I was on a plane with my wife, and he was on the plane as well. And he had the very last seat in the last row. And the whole time I was telling her, like, should we switch? I think we should switch because we had like better seats. And I was like, should we give him?
Like, he's a veteran?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
He's a veteran of the rap.
I know, yeah.
And Kylie was like, no. Like, she was like, what's your plan? You're going to let Cameron sit next to me? Like, what do you want? Like, what is this?
Well, what was your idea for Kylie to take the back seat and then you would?
Yeah.
No, I was trying to be chivalrous. He had, like, the seat by the toilet. And I was like, that sucks.
Yeah.
And then I noticed he was just like talking to all the crew the whole time. And I was like, oh, okay. So you're.
It's a plan.
It's a plan.
Yeah.
I think it was. Yeah.
Who's the best Instagram follow in terms of like any rappers you guys
Plies.
Follow? Oh.
I would say Kevin Gates.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear.
One and one A, man. One and one
yeah,
A.
Yeah. I want to hear both of your arguments, though.
Here's the thing, man. I've been a long time found Plies very funny since, you know, maybe I was 18, 19, when Busted Baby Eric came in.
Yeah.
Doing the Plies impression was a big classic bit when I was in college.
It was?
Me and my friends, it was. There was, I forget what song it's called, but the song starts off and he goes, "You know my hands been getting me in a lot of trouble lately."
See, your friends at the Christian school really appreciated that.
Those dudes, not so much. At the Black Majority Art School I went to in Atlanta, very popular. I feel like Plies tries a little too hard, and Kevin Gates is a little more natural and a little more unpredictable. Plies, you know where you're going to get. Kevin Gates, a little more unpredictable.
Well, what I find funny about them, they like Kevin Gates has mastered it. So like he knows when he somehow knows he has a quarter second left to be like, "I don't get tired." Like he always gets it in. He never doesn't get it in. And like Plies,
and he never gets tired.
Plies, on the other hand, like he's been doing this talking. He's like in the back of an Uber or whatever, talking to camera about like how to eat pussy or whatever,
right.
And like he has never figured it out. It always ends like mid sentence. Like it's like, and you he could just try it again, but he's like, no, that's good enough. He's
so like, you like it on like a found art sort of level.
I do. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Well, I just also like you're right. It's very like calculated, and he's trying, but like at the same time, like it's always kind of a mess, and he just posts it. He doesn't
care. They're both very insane.
Wildly insane. I mean, like,
I woke up this morning, and I usually check up Instagram in the morning, you know, to kind of wake up. And Kevin Gates did like 20 videos in a row. Yeah. I watched all of them. 7 to 7:30 this morning was just me watching Kevin Gates' Instagram.
I will say, I think Plies on a day-to-day basis makes me laugh the most, but. Every once in a while, you'll get a Kevin Gates Instagram where he says, like, he's sleeping with his cousin.
Right,
and you're like, well, okay, nothing beats this. This is the funniest thing ever.
I feel like Kevin Gates is so crazy. Like, and that's such an easy thing to say.
Sure.
But, like, I just don't know how I can be, like, a fan of his music if he's so crazy anymore.
Well, I think his music has always been consistent and good. Plies isn't that great. Plies has had a couple of songs.
Sure.
And he did the Lose My Mind verse, which is his peak.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything after that's down. You can't.
Do you listen
as a Pitbull owner too? He loves Kevin Gates. Loves his Pitbull and manages to get this hellhound into first class with him. And the videos when he's posting videos of he and his giant gray Pitbull in first class,
sitting
in first class, and then he'll occasionally just like tilt his phone a little bit to see whoever's sitting next to him, and it's always just like a white businessman who's just like terrified. This guy with like face tattoos and a pit bull sitting next to him. It's great.
Do you guys listen to Kevin Gates' music and just sort of like think about his sleeping with his cousin like every time he raps about any girl?
No.
Well, first of all, he didn't know it was his cousin.
Yeah,
right.
That was
okay.
Thing. Yeah,
I already got through the hard part.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was more a commentary on how hard it is to find true love and a viable partner in today's modern age. You know,
wow. Sure.
His argument was it's such a struggle. The fact that I found this thing out after I made this strong connect with this person, it just doesn't matter to me. I would say he's just a romantic.
I'm sold. There's levels.
Look,
apparently.
I'm not one to argue for incest. But at the same time, he has a point. I'm just saying.
If you're going to condemn him, you're going to condemn most of your royalty in Europe.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Have you guys gotten any random rappers liking things on Instagram? Because I got a Snooty Wild like on like a Throwback Thursday.
Whoa.
Which I was just like,
yeah, you got a couple of Snooty Wilds.
Yeah, a couple of Snooty Wilds. And I don't think he follows me. So I don't know what he's looking for.
Slug Atmosphere likes everything I do.
Really?
Like every post he'll give me a like.
Does he know you're from Minnesota?
He does,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
But it's and I think I got like backpacker dudes like Sage Francis like stuff, but I don't have I need to like up my
right.
my rep.
By the way, at your wedding, I was talking to your best friend. And he was like, "Oh, do you know about like Sage Francis and all this stuff?" And I was just like, "No." And I saw you like laughing at this conversation because you know that I couldn't give a shit about it.
Right.
I was like, "Only in Minnesota can like Atmosphere top line a festival, and then like J. Cole is second."
Yeah, no, they run it. I mean, and I was like in high school at the like peak of Rhymesayer stuff, so that like it'll always be there.
But like, so at Hawks games, they play everything that's really like popular in rap right now,
great.
Especially Atlanta stuff, which is
like
really
so
running
icy
everything.
By Gucci Mane and
Sir Foster, shout out to Sir Foster,
yes.
The organist
who I interviewed for Billboard magazine, which was amazing.
That guy's amazing.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. But do they play Rhymesayer stuff at Timberlake's game? Or at Timberwolves games?
Timberlake's.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do not. I don't believe so. They play. They need to embrace the Minnesota-ness
of it.
Yeah, the culture there. Cause it's,
like, I feel like for better or for worse, like, if it were up to me, like, the Knicks would always have, like, that Go New York, Go song, like, from 1994 and use that forever.
Although they keep, like, remixing it and it just keeps getting worse.
Well, that's the problem. You can't bring in, like, Swiss Beats or, like, Fabulous or anybody, you know, to do a new song with, like, Amari Stoudemire. Stick with the classic, the K-Day.
My pitch for the Timberwolves, I don't know if you know this, but the Hot Cheetos and Takis kids are from Minneapolis. I was just like, well, just make that the song. Like, serve Hot Cheetos and Takis at the games. Like, just do that. Do something.
That would have been amazing.
I mean, I should really work there.
Yeah.
My dream is to be not necessarily a GM, but who's in charge of snacks at basketball? that's my dream job.
The snacks are? Yeah, the snacks are?
Yeah.
Wait, so who's have any rappers comment on your Instagram?
No Instagram comments, but I did get a retweet from DJ Scream and Corey B once.
Nice.
Oh, the Migos retweeted me that night. So we left that after party. It was I wrote like at Migos, like, sorry, I got to go to work tomorrow, so I'm leaving your after party, but I hope it's like successful and you guys like have a great night. And then they retweeted that the next day.
My God.
I used to tell Eric, and I don't mean to take away from that.
No.
But I remember telling Eric, I was like, if you mention Migos or Fredo Santana in any tweet, they will retweet it.
Yeah.
They like search
obviously,
their name. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was making fun of their after party.
Right. Yeah.
Did not care.
Yeah, no. Tony Yayo has commented on my things.
Yes. Tony Yayo, who's like super nice and super active on like social mediums.
Yeah. Media even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He likes all that.
Yeah, he puts a lot of crying faces. That's like Tony Ayo's thing.
I'm a big fan of that guy. Two lines going down?
Yep.
Classic. What in that? And that is supposed to insinuate you're laughing so hard that you're crying.
Correct. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's just he just loves to laugh.
He's a laugher.
On the inside.
Yeah.
I would like, I mean, ideally, I would love to get like some Saint Lunatics in my feed, like
just
you know,
like City
Spud?
Like Murphy Lee.
Is City Spud
I would love
on
to
Instagram?
Get like City Spud would be great.
City Spud on the gram.
Oh, Murphy Lee! The best thing he ever did was he got on Twitter and he said, "What's the app for Instagram?"
I mean, what's the app gonna be?
We were talking before about how Ludacris is going to host the Billboard Awards.
Sure.
How he was on the roast for Justin Bieber. Pitbull has hosted award shows. Drake has hosted award shows. Are there any rappers that you guys feel are like talented that could cross over that have not been sort of besides the Migos?
I would love Ply. I mean, again,
Ply. I would love
Ply. Ply should host the AVN Awards.
Yes.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Like, on, you make sure it's on
Sweet Pussy Saturday. S-A-T-D-A-Y, not Saturday.
He's, oh, man.
The bit of always pointing out it's not Saturday is just insane.
Yeah.
What about Waka Flocka?
Flocka would be good. He's he would actually legit be good.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of mainstreamed out to the
great.
Point.
Yeah.
Where he'd be good.
I feel like he's
I don't
in
know.
This...
Who are you going to say?
No, I think Waka would be, like, amazing. I mean, look, I think, like, Drake has sort of, like, been the peak because he really, like...
Embraced it.
He embraced it, yeah, and he understands, like, the audience and everything and can laugh at himself, which is good because a lot of these guys do not.
But... Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for, like, train wrecks and, like, Danny Brown or something...
Yeah, I don't think Danny Brown is who most of these brands want, like, you know,
no?
whipping them. Probably not.
No.
Have you guys met Danny?
I have not.
Yeah.
I actually have.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I said that. I forgot. Yeah, I met him.
Yeah. Great guy.
He was
yeah,
awesome.
Super great guy.
Yeah. He's very chill.
But not conventional and doesn't really care to.
I feel like Bun B is working that. Like,
yep.
I feel like he could start hosting stuff
totally.
Pretty soon.
He's really great. And I think he understands that there's more to like he's not going to end up like rapping forever, but he understands like sort of where his place is.
Right.
You know?
I mean, what do you call the fourth album after Trill OG?
I know.
That is really brilliant.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Game?
It would be called Trill for Life. Never mind.
Okay.
It would be called Trill for Life.
Just figured it out.
Right, hot Cheetos and Takis for the Timberwolves. Yeah. Trill for life for Bun B.
Is it L-Y-F-E or L-I-F-E?
It's L-I-F-E.
Okay. Lowercase I?
It's all caps it's all and then caps. The lowercase
yeah, yeah. I. Yeah. Just making sure. I just want to figure these things out.
I sort of want to see, like, Rick Ross do something like that. I feel like there's a next level to, like, what he's going to do.
Gunplay.
Gunplay would be great.
Never mind. That's the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gunplay is, yeah.
So, like, any meeting that we go into, we talk about Gunplay and, like, the videos that he would make and
Gunplay's
everything about him. Yeah. Like, he does.
I love showing people Gunplay music videos. It's the best.
Or have you seen him going to Six Flags?
Oh, yes.
Like,
oh,
that's the greatest video, like, I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
For those who haven't seen it,
it's him, like, winning carnival games and flying around with, like,
Superman
a tiny cape while, like, totally on something.
Yeah. Or many things.
I would argue many things.
Yeah.
So this tall man with giant dreads and a swastika tattooed on his back.
Mm-hmm. It's not even, like, giant. Like, they're not dreads. It's just, like, a mat of hair.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's how they do in, like, Southern Florida. It's just it's like a nest.
And then there's one where, like, he goes fishing, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And he does, like, the trick where he, like, you know, throws his hand into the water and pulls out a fish.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
I feel like that's going to work out just great for him.
Like, I feel there's a point, too, where, like, I love the idea of a cosign, and I love when that works out. But I really feel like if it's someone like Gunplay who's, like, really just a good friend and crazy, you're not doing them any favors by, like, saying, like, yes, you will definitely have an album come out, and yes, you will definitely have a long career, and yes, everything's going to work out just fine.
But, like, legit, like, I listen to that Bible on the Dash song
all the time.
One of the best songs.
Yeah.
And, like, I was like, this guy needs to, like, make an album, but he's, like, always in trouble.
Yeah.
And you know, Goddamn? Yeah, Goddamn?
No.
Classic Gunplay song. It's not a Gunplay song. It's like a DJ, it's like a DJ Self or a DJ Envy song featuring Gunplay, but it's called Yeah, Goddamn, and it's vintage Gunplay, I would say.
I like... He's always in trouble because he can't stop playing with guns. He really lives up to the name.
But he's trying to change his name now. It's Don Logan now. Don Logan, a.k.a. Gunplay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that works out for a situation. Well,
yeah.
Or is it like Mike Bigga, who was Killer Mike.
Yeah.
And then he was like, Killer Mike's a better name.
Yeah. So, by the way, so back to your wedding. You know, you had a block of songs that you were able to play.
Yeah.
You have a similar sort of taste as we do.
Yeah.
A lot of Migos, a lot of, like, street rap.
Yeah.
You were marrying a girl who likes, you know, Britney Spears.
Sure.
I would just call it normal people.
Normal people listen to,
you know what I mean?
She likes, you know, the kind of music that's fun to dance to at weddings.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
That's more her
Not
taste
Not what I would call
music.
Beat a dude up in a club music.
Right.
More our speed.
But
my DJ was awesome. He was great.
Yeah, he
DJ
was.
Morse code.
Yeah. Yes.
He did, I think, miscalculate things a little bit because he played my block of music from the get, like, from the start.
Right.
So, like, music started playing and it was, like, just jumping right into Migos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What was it? He played.
I just remember.
Fuck with me, you know I got it.
Yeah, it was just like
it was like, what are you doing? Like, this should be going on at the end of the night.
My favorite memory from that moment was he put on Flick of the Wrist, and Kylie just looked at you really startling, just like, no. Joe had to run up, just like, dude, please.
Yeah. I think we gotta start playing Mariah Carey or whatever.
I like how that was the crossing point.
I know.
This is too much.
I remember. I think the first song might have been. The Drake song Run Through the Six of My Woes.
Yeah.
And I remember the four of us and David Cho screaming that. And Amy Poehler and Nick Kroll were nearby.
Yep.
And I remember Amy's face was just like, whoa.
These guys really like this song.
Like, very turned. But they knew all the words. She and Nick knew all the words to I Don't Fuck With You.
Yeah, no, Amy,
which is crazy,
knows all the words to every popular song. It's really incredible. Yeah.
We saw Big Sean like way back when he was first starting out, and he played like it was actually a Consequence show at the old Knitting Factory, like in Tribeca.
Yep.
And
the three level place.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And it was Consequence, and then Kanye came out, and they brought like everyone who was on Good Music at that time. And then and Big Sean was one of the guys. And to look at him then, and he had like what? The Super Duper Flow, right?
Yep.
And there really wasn't much to him. To see him like then, to get to the point now where Amy Poehler and Nick Kroll are singing his lyrics is just insane. Like, it's just unbelievable and a testament to how far he's come.
Yeah,
but
he's come, yeah, come along.
If that, if that's the measure,
it is the measure. Yeah.
Congratulations to Big Sean.
He's really done it. I went to a music festival. You know, I perform at a lot of music festivals, yeah, like during the summer. And like a few years ago, I was with Chelsea Peretti, mm-hmm, and we went to see J. Cole.
Yeah,
he had like a headlining set, like the main stage set, but it was like at 12:30 in the afternoon, which is like the roughest set I've ever, like, I've never seen like an insecure rapper before, and it would, I've never identified also more with a rapper, yeah, than watching J. Cole try to like do a set at 1 in the afternoon on,
yeah,
this giant stage in front of like an empty arena, because it's an outdoor, you know, it's like a football, right, stadium, and it was probably, yeah, like thousands of people were there, but it probably only filled like an eighth of the stadium.
Yeah.
So like it just looked empty and it was bright out. And he came out and he was like,
"That's ideal."
And he was just like, "Hey, so hi, you know." And then he was like, "Let's do this." And he was like trying to get the crowd psyched. And he'd be like, "Oh, let's try this." And he was like getting people to wave their hands. He's like, "I stole that from Jay-Z." And, like, he was just like completely spiraling. And at one point, he was like, he took his shirt off because it was hot. And then like all these girls started screaming. He was like, "Wait, that's all I had to do? I would have done that like 4 songs ago." It was just like, it felt so much like doing a stand-up set that's not going well, where you're just like, you know, grasping a straw.
Yeah. You take your shirt off at stand-up special.
If I have to, yeah.
Yeah. Face in the hole.
But yeah. I mean, it's similar. Like, I know a couple comics, when things go bad, will just like take their pants off. You know what I mean? Like, anything for a laugh.
Sure.
It felt, I mean, it's a different thing if you're like an attractive, yeah, dude. You can take your shirt off.
I think, like Riff Raff.
Yeah, like Riff Raff. Attractive dude like Riff Raff.
I think, actually, 2 things about that. One is that, you know how Riff Raff like got so much shit for having like the MTV logo and the BET, mm-hmm, logo and everything like tatted. And did you see Vic Mensa, who recently signed to Roc Nation, got the old Rockefeller tattoo on his neck, which is enormous and forever.
It's forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, in addition to that, the funny thing about an artist who is young and struggles on stage, as opposed to someone like my favorite rapper story ever is 2 Chainz' story. Like the guy who started
like
out
a biography.
Yeah.
As Titty Boy, who was Ludacris's, you know, like hype man.
Yeah.
You know, you watch like Chappelle's show and he's on there like just in the back, changes his name, works hard, and
let's not overlook the player's circle.
No. Yeah, I totally agree. Double bag boy, yeah, the whole thing.
That was a turning point.
Love that. But I do have to say, though, like, he's someone who really late in rapper life became a megastar. And
right,
he's just, like, now everything he does basically is just gold. Like, most of expensive as shit is amazing.
I made a bet with a friend when I was living in Atlanta, right when he was what I like to call the FKA Titty Boy era, which was 2 Chainz' FKA Titty Boy.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
right when he dropped Trapavelli 2, which is kind of it had this really big song called Boo on it, mm-hmm, featuring Yo Gotti, which is like a huge regional hit, and that was kind of a turning point, and that was kind of regionally popular, and I was like, dude, T-Boy's blowing up, he's gonna be huge. My friend was like, no way, and I'm like, I'll bet you $100 T-Boy's huge within the next like 2 years. I'll take it. And guess who had the last app? Shout out to 2 Chainz.
Wait, was your friend Dollar Boy?
Yeah.
No, it was not Dollar Boy.
And do you not get that $100 because you bet on Titty Boy, not 2 Chainz?
No, I bet on T-Boy.
Okay, gotcha.
It's too bad there isn't like a stock market for stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Like a fantasy league for rappers?
Or just like in Vegas, you know, you can make like crazy bets like for sports. Like,
right.
Same thing. If you could predict people's careers.
Well, my worst prediction is that I thought that the Cool Kids were going to be bigger than Drake.
So,
yeah.
Oh.
That did not happen.
Yeah. I mean, their sound is, like, still here.
Yes, they're not, though.
That is true.
Yeah.
When did Computer School come out?
I don't know.
It's called, like, late. It was like 2008, 2000.
Yeah,
I was like still in high school, going into college.
Yeah, there was a 2008, 2009 concert at like SUNY Purchase or something like that,
right,
just north of New York City, where the Cool Kids and Drake played, and that's like sort of where that came out of.
That prediction came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, failed miserably. But
I also didn't like Drake at the time, though.
Well,
and that's totally factored into it.
Yeah, I've made huge 180s on a bunch of people in popular culture, and Drake is one of them.
Yeah.
I used to not be a fan, and I really he's good now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, like we were saying, like people also just get better.
Yeah.
And things change. I'm gonna be performing in Toronto later this summer, and they asked me like, "What do you want to name your show?" Because I'm like doing like multiple shows at this festival, and I was like, I need just something so pandering to like get people in Toronto to come. So
Jews
if you're reading
six.
This, Drake,
it's Joe Mandy, the Drake of comedy. And it's just, I'm just gonna like make
own it.
A, yeah, I'm gonna Photoshop my face under the Take Care.
Oh my god,
and just like own it.
That's amazing.
I know he has no new friends. I subscribe to that policy as well, but I would make an exception. I would be friends with Drake. I'm just throwing that out there.
That's big of you.
Yeah.
That's very big of you.
And so
this is a blog exclusive.
I mean, this is the pull quote from this episode is I would be willing to be friends with Drake. I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah.
By the way, so
I'll drive to Calabasas.
I had a long conversation with Anise. I was like, nobody on earth is able to keep up with all of Gucci Mane's, output.
Not I.
And Anise was like, oh, I know everything that he's ever put out. And I was just like, I was shocked. I was in silence. You just kept listing more projects.
And impressed.
I was very impressed.
No,
I'm
it's very
impressed.
I know. Because I will sometimes ask Anise, like, what songs should I get from the latest triple album? Like food themed.
Yeah.
Food
put
themed
out
triple
three
album.
Three trilogies. A trilogy of trilogies. Like no other musical artist has ever done that.
Yeah.
Wait, what were in the trilogies though?
The trilogies
Well, there
were,
was the
well,
Gas.
There's Gasoline and Molly, which is the drug trilogy. Then there's
Breakfast, Lunch and Dinner.
Breakfast, Lunch and Dinner. And then the original one was called World War III, which was Burr Russia, Burr USA, and Great Burr Britain. There's some good stuff on those.
And that was who he thought were going to be major players in World War III. Was it predictive?
Who knows? But that was good. There's some like early Drake stuff on there. Yellow Diamonds is on there, which is a good song. But for me, it was I moved to – so Gucci was really big regionally where I grew up in South Carolina. Trap House 1 came out when I was right in high school. It was super big. And then right after Trap House came out and So Icy was this huge hit on the radio regionally, he went to jail for a really long time. And then that's how
– What Gucci Mane did?
That was the first long sentence he went, and he became this huge urban legend because it was like – the story was always that Jeezy sent these guys to kill Gucci – and steal his So Icy chain. And Gucci like got shot and got a gun back, killed them all in jail. And then he came out right when I moved to Atlanta, which is in 2008 when I moved for college. And that's when the real game-changing moment, and this artist does not get enough credit for, I think he has a huge influence on what happened in music, and that's OJ the Juice Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Juice Man came out, Make the Trap Say Hey, that was Gucci Man's big comeback. And then I would say there's a direct line from Juice Man to Little B to Odd Future to all of music. So shout out Juice Man. He changed the world. And then he just kept dropping. I mean, there's
another guy who probably would have benefited from a different name.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
No.
The real 2 Chainz.
And then Gucci just had like a great ear for artists at the time. That was the peak of Brick Squad because he had Juice Man. And then he brought out Flocka. Yeah. Oh, Let's Do It came out the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Slim Duncan, who's one of my favorite rappers, he would have been huge by now, but obviously he sadly passed away. But just so many good stuff.
But also, like Nicki was under Brick Squad at the time.
Nicki was under Brick Squad for a quick minute. There's the real great song that captures that is Coca-Cola, which is a 10-minute song with Gucci Mane, Flocka, Juice Man, Nicki Minaj, and who's the other? I'll come back to that. But it's a really, really good song. And then Chicken Talk is another underrated Gucci Mane album you can check out. Chicken Talk.
That's different. That's not on the Breakfast Lunch.
Chicken Talk.
Not
Chicken
affiliated
Talk.
With
Chicken Talk
Chicken
is more of an idea than like a time.
And don't sleep on the fact that Breakfast, Lunch, and Dinner has another album associated with it called Dessert, which
was kind of just an additional
I don't
song.
Understand how he can put out so much music. But then, I mean, like there was that Vice documentary that showed, like, how, people were talking about how, like, he just he has a lot of output, and he just can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't he just like have like a metronome, and he just like raps, and then people add production to he just like beat, he has just like a certain beat he raps over, and then people make beats on top of that. Like that would have to be it, because otherwise he's has to wait for people to make beats for him. He's just like this insane machine.
What he did for a while, right before he went in, is a period where he had a house in Atlanta, and he just put in all these little mini studios in the house, and Migos were living there, Young Thug was living there, and he was living there, and they just recorded for months, and that's why, like, I think they all just record hundreds of songs.
God, how is that not like a reality show?
I know. Well, maybe we'll be when he gets out.
Yeah.
Do you guys, like, obviously, like, when Nas and Jay-Z went against each other, I feel like a lot of people took sides. I definitely did. Like, I wouldn't listen to Nas for years, right? Like,
just, you chose.
I had, yeah. There, I had no vested interest in it other
than... What was
that?
Jay-Z chose Eric.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, like, in this Lil Wayne Young Thug thing, do you guys, like, pick sides? Do you have any...
I mean, how is Lil Wayne going to get mad at him when his album was called 500 Degrees? Like, he did the same thing.
Right.
It's very, you lose all leverage at that point. this guy's doing the exact same thing you did. Yeah.
I feel like it's more, I don't think there's a Young Thug Lil Wayne beef. There's a Lil Wayne Birdman beef.
Yep.
And poor Young Thug is caught in the middle.
Okay.
And I feel bad for him.
What do you make of the whole... Rich Homie Quan, Young Thug sort of.
I think that's the media.
Time out.
I don't think there's a reality to that. I think that's the media perpetuating headlines for clicks.
Mm.
If it's real, though, if it's real, I hope they just figure it out.
Yeah.
Because
the tour is
one of the best albums.
They need each other.
And the best part of that is Birdman just jumping on and doing ad-libs.
Rich gang.
Rich gang.
Rich girl. I feel like we should have been doing that the entire time for this podcast.
You can edit.
Throw in some rich gang. Throw him some what up playboys.
Yep. Besides Juice Man... because he's still putting out music.
Here and there.
It's not the same.
What other Southern artists should we be looking for?
Definitely checking out Young Dolph.
I was just going to say Memphis.
Yep. He's great. I would recommend checking out the whole South Memphis Kingpin series. It's a series of mixtapes he's done. I think 5 just came out.
Yeah, our friend Matt Fastow over at Sirius always tells us about Young Dolph.
Mm-hmm. Young Dolph, really dope. Snooty Wild, who you mentioned earlier, is really awesome. He just dropped. I'm a big Yo Gotti fan.
Back
right when Gucci was coming out, Yo Gotti was huge.
You like everybody from Memphis.
I'm a huge Memphis fan and a huge 3-6 head as well.
Right.
But one thing I like about Yo Gotti is he's another guy who I thought would just be a regional guy. And then when it was crazy when Akrite came out, I was in California at the time. I was like, whoa. Like, I have another good friend from Atlanta who lives here. And he called me and was like, dude, I was at this party and this girl knew who Yo Gotti was. It was really crazy. But he also, and this is another reason why Gucci Man, I think, is really... really brilliant, is there's an art in rap as a rapper to finding artists and nurturing artists. And Yo Gotti's really good at did that. He did that with Starlito for a while, and Starlito and him put out some cool stuff. And then recently he just kind of, he did, I always like Zedzilla, which was his guy in the mid-2000s. He still does good. Zedzilla has a mixtape series called Rinse Do. And anytime he puts out a new one, he does a contest where you can enter it. And if you win, he'll pay your rent. But this past, last year, he brought out Snooty Wild and Wave Chappelle, who I think are both really good.
Mm-hmm.
And Snooty Wild has a great voice. And they just dropped a new song called 12, which is pretty awesome. I like all the Awful Records guys.
Yep.
Ethereal.
The cool thing about the Awful Records guys, by the way, is that they're so, like, of the Gucci school.
Yeah, they come from that. And I also got to shout out my boy Booty Math. Booty Math is my close friend, like a brother to me. He does all the art for Awful Records.
That's awesome.
And he's, I would say, the best Twitter right now going.
What is his Twitter?
At Booty Math.
Okay.
At Booty Math. It's the best Twitter.
B-O-O-T-Y.
Math at Booty Math. Yeah. Check him out.
Well, I don't want to cut you off. I mean, like, that's a lot of, like, great Southern artists that you're mentioning, but I feel like Joe needs to mention every single great Minnesota artist.
There's Prince. You familiar with Prince? Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Good work.
When I went to high school with a band called Hyru Specs, they were good, and I don't know.
Are they a good Twitter follow?
I don't think so. There was one of their members was named Twinkie Jiggles, which I always loved. That's up there with Booty Math, in my opinion. Yeah. It's a great name.
Also, I'm from Columbia, South Carolina, so I got to shout out Darius Rucker. His last album was pretty great.
Really?
Are you psyched for this Hootie reunion?
Of course.
I am.
I'm from a town where we have a statue for Hootie.
I know.
So. Do you really?
Yeah, in Columbia, South Carolina, it's a Hootie statue.
Really?
They're local heroes.
Yeah, yeah, well, sure.
They're local heroes.
Man.
And I've seen Darius Rucker perform the national anthem maybe 5 to 10 times in my life.
Wow.
He's always available.
He's like your He's Jennifer available. Hudson.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jeff, you know what time it is?
What time is it, Eric?
It's Gucci time. Anyway, I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff.
That's Anise. That's Joe.
Bye.
And this was a waste of time with the thrill.
Yeah, thanks for wasting
guys.
Time with
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
You want to go get wings?
Yeah, sure.
Let's get food because we never fed you.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.